In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to read you something real quick. A couple of things here. This is from the Vesper service from yesterday evening. When thou art about to come to execute just judgment, O thou just ruler, and sittest upon the throne of thy glory, the river of fire flowing before thine altar, dazzling all, and the powers of heaven stand before thee in fear, and men are being judged with tribulation, each according to his deeds. Then, O Christ, have pity on us, and make worthy of those who are saved, us who beseech thee in faith, for thou art compassionate. And again, woe to thee, O darkened soul, for how long wilt thou not cease from evil doing? How long wilt thou lie down in idleness? Why thinkest thou not on the fearful hour of death? And why tremblest thou not at all at the terrible altar of the Savior? What perchance shalt thou reply, or what reason give, when thy deeds shall rise to reproach thee, and thy works condemn and confute thee? Wherefore, O my soul, the time is at hand. Hasten in faith before it is too late, and cry, I have sinned against thee, O Lord. I have sinned, but I know thy compassion, O good shepherd, lover of mankind. Forbid me not, therefore, to stand at thy right hand, for the multitude of thy mercies. As you can see, the tone seems to have changed a little bit this week. 2 weeks ago, we learned about what real repentance is and how to exercise it. Last week, we had just a cornucopia of wonderful text talking about the love, the absolute, ineffable, unfathomable love of God for all of us. And yet today, we flip the coin and we see something else that's a little bit more difficult for us to swallow, yet is still something very important and very real. And that is that when our Lord comes again in glory, He is coming as judge. Coming as judge. And it's up to us to determine what exactly it is that He's going to find. In the gospel reading today, it's very interesting because when He's speaking of the poor and the destitute and those who are sick and in prison and these sorts of things, He says, these my brethren. He is essentially identifying Himself with all of these types of people that we run into almost every day of our life that perhaps don't have it as well as we do, or that through fault of their own or no fault of their own are finding themselves in difficult situations, perhaps in prison, perhaps they have encountered some kind of illness. The list goes on and on and on, and the Lord says, yet, but these are my brethren. He doesn't even indicate that when He's coming back to the Christian flock, He's saying, oh, you, my brethren, no. He's saying that these others are, in essence, those whom we will find Himself in. And that's a frightening thing. At least it is for me. This is one of the most difficult Sundays, the most difficult Gospels to preach on. Because we hear so much in so many places about people who feel that they need to be saved, and they end up being saved essentially from God Himself, since He's the enemy to them. He's the one who's going to come and get them and do something bad to them. And Orthodoxy, every single week of the year, counteracts that idea by saying that the Lord is the philanthropos. He is the great lover of mankind. And yet, on this particular day, the church issues this sort of siren call to us, saying now is the time to wake up. Now is the time that we've got to understand that it isn't just a free ride. The way is open, but the Lord is not going to compel any of us to come along with Him unless we want to be there. And by doing the things that He indicates in this gospel, it is, in essence, proof of our love for Him. St. Gregory Palamas talks about this. He says, well, does it simply mean that if you go out and feed the hungry and clothe the naked and visit the sick and those in prison, that somehow that's going to go in the yes column for you and that's all you need? He says, no, absolutely not. Because our whole lives have to be driven towards acquiring the love of our Savior, this love for all mankind, this love that just permeates every single little inch of our bodies. Because from that love, we come and we do all of these other things. So we have to have the love, but we also have to prove that the love is in us by doing these things for other people. Not simply in order to pass the test at the last judgment, not just that, because as John Chrysostom would say, glory to God for all things, whether he takes me to heaven or casts me into hell. Glory to God for all things. We should do it simply for the sake of God's glory, not in order to achieve some kind of reward. The Lord is saying here, examine your hearts. Examine where you stand before Him. Examine how much you really love Him, how much you really care about Him. Because He tells us today that if we are not visiting the sick and those in prison and clothing the naked and feeding the hungry and doing all these things, then we have to really question how much we do love God. Because if we can't love our neighbor, we can't love God. It's that simple. You can't say that somehow, well, I can't stand people. I don't want to be around this, that, or the other. That's no good. Oh, the Lord, oh, I love Him so much. I pray every day. It's a wonderful thing. It's not going to work. It's not going to fly. It's not going to pass. It's what this last judgment is all about. And by the way, let's clear up one little thing about the last judgment. If you, like me, in envisioning this, and everybody thinks about it one time or the other, we think about the last judgment, I think that, well, you know, these really long lines. And you've got our Lord, and he's sitting on the throne, and one by one we're coming up, and in front of everyone we're being judged. And I thought, gee, how many people have lived on this planet since man first appeared? I think that's going to take eternity just to get through the judgment. But the fathers tell us differently. The last judgment will occur in a word, they say, like that. It will be done. Our consciences will condemn us, or our consciences will draw us toward the Lord. It will be that quick a thing for us to go through. But it will be nonetheless something that is very real, something that is very telling, something that if we have worked on our salvation in this life, will be something that we will not fear, because we know that the Lord will take us with Him. Remember, He said He divides the sheep and the goats, and the sheep will go with Him and the goats will go to that other place, that place that was never created for human beings, but for the devil and his angels. But because those people don't want to go with the Lord, they won't be forced to, and off they will be. It's that simple, it's that quick, and it's something that we have to prepare for now. I encourage everybody, before you leave today, the icon that's in the back, next year hopefully we'll have a bigger one, but there's this little paper icon in the back. If you were wondering what it was beside the St. James icon, that's the icon of the last judgment. Look at it very carefully, because it tells everything right there. You see the Lord at the top, the Mother of God on His right hand, John the Baptist on His left, the deesis icon that we have right back out there as we come into the church. Below or beside them are the 12 apostles. And underneath that is the throne of glory with the scepter. And from that throne flows the river of fire. And there are different personages being caught in that river. And one side goes down into the gaping mouth of what looks like a big fish. That's the devil himself. And on the other side, you've got people with scales and balances and all these things. It's an astounding icon. It really is. And it's worth looking at to understand, because it essentially parallels the gospel that we heard today. Because it's, and these icons, by the way, if you've ever seen one, they're very large. In most churches that are traditionally painted, on the western wall, all across the western wall, is this icon of the Last Judgment. And that's so that as we leave the church, we are reminded about this. We are reminded that it doesn't end here, that we have to go through this judgment, that we have to take the things that we get from the church out into the world. And so take a look at it and study it a little bit and try and understand some of the things that are going on in there, because it's a fact that we can't avoid, unfortunately. Because we know that even those, some people that said that they call on the name of the Lord and did these wonderful works in His name and felt that they were really Christians, and yet somehow in their hearts they weren't pure. In another part of the gospel, the Lord says, I never knew you. Imagine going through your whole life praying, or at least thinking that you're praying, thinking that somehow you're a Christian, but not really loving God, and coming to the judgment seat, and the Lord saying, who are you? Not a pretty picture. Not a pretty picture. But one that we have to take to heart, and one that we have to keep in mind. This is why the fathers of the church have presented us with this particular gospel and this particular commemoration of the Last Judgment on this day. Because we're only 1 week away from Lent. And they're saying, look, wake up now. Wake up. Use this time. Use this time that the church offers you every year in order to come to terms with yourself, with the reality of your own situation. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, do I really love God? Look at the icon of Christ and say, do I really love you? Look at the icon of the Last Judgment and say, am I really prepared for this? Because this is the wake-up call. As I find you, that is how I will judge you, says the Lord. And so it's important that we are making this slow and steady progress towards Him, towards His love. And it's all about love. And sometimes we think, well, if He really loved us, would He judge us? Would He throw anybody into hell? And of course, the answer to that is, well, not if we're puppets. If you want to be a puppet, if you don't want to be in God's image, if you don't want to have your ability to choose things for yourself and your own creativity and all these other things that come with that package that we call the image and likeness of God, well, then sure, we can go in and be a sheep in the pasture. But the Lord gives us this choice. He wants us as human beings to do the things that He did for us, to freely love, to freely give, to freely sacrifice, all of these things. This is what makes a genuine human being. This is what makes a human being worthy of the name. And of course, a human being worthy of the name is of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who became human and defined humanity for us, who shows us what we should be, who we should be, how we should act, the things that we should do, that we should not simply go through life in a very self-aggrandizing and selfish way, looking out only for ourselves, caring nothing about anyone else, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die sort of attitude. Because while that last part is true, eating, drinking, and being merry is not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. Remember what He says. The kingdom of heaven is taken by force, and the violent do take it. That means we have to do violence to our nature. We have to shake ourselves up. We have to understand that when we're fasting, well, we're not just keeping a diet. Like St. Paul said in the epistle today, you know, the Lord doesn't care whether you eat meat, don't eat meat. I mean, none of that, you're not going to be asked that at the judgment. No, the fasting shakes us up out of our routine. It disturbs us.
It says, look, we got to stop pampering ourselves. We have to look forward now to cleansing ourselves, to becoming pure for the Lord, to substitute what we find in our stomachs with prayer. These are the important things that we do in our lives, during this period especially. And so we need to take that into consideration and understand that that judgment which is coming doesn't have to be something fearful at all. It could be something wondrous, that we could appear before Him and say, Lord, I am an unworthy servant, and I've done everything I can. Have mercy on me. And the Lord will take us into His kingdom. That's what He wants for all of us. He's not going to be happy at any single person who turns away from Him, who goes away. And yet when the rich young ruler approached Him, and the Lord said, you know, you've done all these things that you're supposed to do except one, sell all that you have and come follow me. He turned away and left. The Lord was sad at that. But He didn't go and grab him and pull him back and say, look, I'm going to force you to come in anyway. No, He just talked about how difficult it was going to be for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So He allows us our choices in everything that we do. Choose to be with Him. Choose to make this upcoming fast the best one you've ever had. Start it off right from the beginning and say, I'm going to make a difference in my life this year by turning to Christ. I'm going to make a difference in my life this year by turning towards others and helping them and learning to love those people that I even find so difficult to love. I'm going to do that. Might be your last Lent. Who knows? We'll all have to face a partial judgment sooner or later. So take advantage of this time. Let the Lord permeate your souls during this period. Don't turn away. Don't treat this as just any other time, because it's not. It's a holy time. And like I've said so many times, the devil knows what time of year it is, even if you don't. He's going to up his game. So whether you're praying, paying attention to the fast, whatever you're doing, he's coming. He's not going to make it easy, because he's going to say, look, all these people are professed Orthodox Christians. Let's see which ones are really professed Orthodox Christians. Because the ones that are not engaged in the struggle, the ones who are not trying to bring the Lord Jesus Christ more fully into their lives, well, it's like low-hanging fruit for Satan. It's just like easy pickings for him. He can make your life miserable, and he will enjoy doing it. So pay attention. The other world, my brothers and sisters, no matter what many would say today, the other world is very real and very genuine. And the beautiful thing about it is it's much closer than you realize. Here today we have the angels and the saints in heaven with us here. Many of the saints while on earth heard them, saw them. They are around. They are with you. Your guardian angels are all with you at all times. Think about that. The next time you get ready to do something sinful, something you shouldn't do, your guardian angel knows. Your guardian angel is with you. The Lord sends us this great cloud of witnesses, as it says in Hebrews, in order to encourage us and to make us understand that all of us are part of this wonderful, wonderful process of salvation that God has given us. So don't be afraid of the last judgment. But don't be stupid either. Pay attention to yourself. Cultivate the love of God that He gives you. And that way, when the time comes, we will all of us walk into His kingdom boldly. Amen.